Andre Kachaturian of Armenian Sports News here today with former Liberty University tennis player Marina Davitian, who's also competed in the ITF and the WTA. Marina, coming from us from New York City, or New York, Port Washington, you said New York, whatever, New York State. How are you today, Marina?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks for taking the time to joining us. So let's start early in your career. How did your tennis journey even begin? What inspired you to pick up a racket?
It's so funny because I've told this story and everybody laughed at this story so many times. So my sister was this popular kid in high school and she did so many activities. And she went to my dad one day, one random Tuesday, and she was like, "Listen, I need to become a tennis player." And he was like, "You're 13 years old. Like, it's so late. You never picked up a racket before." So he was like, "If your sister wants, like, you guys go together as like a sisterhood situation." And she was like, "Okay." So she begged me and I was like, "Okay, whatever." And I was doing gymnastics at that point and I was very serious. And then we went in and the coach was like, he called my dad right away. He was like, "Future, I don't know, Maria Sharapova," whatever. And I was like, not understanding what's going on. And yeah, that's literally how my journey began. After 3 months, my sister quit tennis and I kept going.
And this was in Armenia?
Yes. It was 2006, seven, 2007.
So you continue to train and grow in Armenia. How did what was the transition like from Armenia to competing collegiately in the United States? How was that?
Oh, it was crazy. The difference in cultures, the difference of people, how kind of at that point it was like so different in a way that people were so open-minded in here versus in Armenia. Like, I used to wear shorts, you know, I'm a tennis player, an athlete. So like, I never thought about it. Back home, they're like, "Oh, what is she doing outside of sports? She's wearing shorts," you know, kind of that way. Yeah. And here, everybody are like D1 athletes, everybody wearing whatever they want. They're going to school with sweatpants and stuff. And I'm like, "Let's go. This is my place." But that was fun. But it was, you know, a long journey. I was in college for 6 years, graduated last year in May. And yeah, it was a great, great transition, I would say.
So you spent time at Liberty, but before then you were at Tulsa, correct?
Yes, I was there for 2 years and then COVID hit. I went back home for like 9 months, which was so rare at that point. And I transferred to Liberty University, a Christian school. Was a blast completely, even though I went through those injuries.
So you talk about those injuries. What happened at Liberty with these, when you were playing at Liberty, you suffered some injuries. Can you talk about them and how they kind of derailed your collegiate career?
So I was having blast. I was on my 10th streak match win and I was doing awesome. My new team, I love everybody. They love me. I love them. It's just like such a good atmosphere. And one day during the match, we like great match, doubles match, we win. I went in for the singles, just went for a ball, twisted weirdly and just completely destroyed my knee, my right knee, ACL, PCL, MCL, both meniscus, just like in 1 second. And then I found out that, like a few weeks after, that it's completely torn. I need to do a surgery. Went through that. My parents didn't have visa, so I was kind of alone in that. But thankfully, my teammates, I love them so much. They helped me through it all. Coach Marin was my coach. He helped me through it all as well. Coach Lemmy as well. And after that year of recovery, go through month of playing again. Awesome tennis, feeling it, confident. And then meniscus tear once more again, surgery, and then tear on my shoulder. It was just like 2 years of competing, of not getting injured consistently. And it was from nowhere. So it was tough, but went through it. Now, thankfully, I'm feeling great.
So I what some people might not know, when in the NCAA, if you're injured and you miss time, you're allowed to kind of make up for that year.
Yes.
So
yes.
Were you able to do that at Liberty?
Yes. So I had a COVID year. They gave it back to me. That's why I was in college for 6 years.
Yes.
So the COVID year plus when I played only 10 matches and I could apply for a redshirt year.
Yes.
So that year I redshirted and I had 2 extra years to compete, which I graduated and then I did my master's. So it was perfect basically, but not really. If they would ask to do it again, I wouldn't do it.
So why is that?
because of those injuries and
Because of
stuff.
those
And also, it's just so much pressure, especially when the coach is recruiting you, paying full, giving you money monthly to compete for them, to win for them. And then every time you go in, you're like, you have so much pressure. And it's not only you win, you lose, it's about the team. If you lose, your team might lose, your coach might lose his job because you lost. You know, there's so many components going to it that I feel like not many people talk about. They're like, oh yeah, you go to this school, you compete against hype like teams and stuff, but they ne never really talk about the pressure that goes with the competition at playing at D1.
Right. So take me through those times when you were injured and, it's obviously a dark moment in your career and you said you were alone from your family and, you can't do what you love and you can't compete. How did that make you stronger today?
Honestly, I was going through such a tough phase in my life mentally. I was having panic attacks like multiple times a day. I passed out from feeling so exhausted from like just mentally. Like mental was so physical at that point that physical pain didn't even matter. It was just so like it was like you're existing in this life until you can get the tennis back. And as of going back, I was identifying myself as of just like, I'm a tennis player. Nothing else matter. Only tennis matters. And when that happened, not once, but twice, I was just like, I sat back and I was like, this is not how it's supposed to be. I shouldn't feel this way because I can play my favorite sport, sure, but I have joy in my life. I have my parents, you know, it was a lot of growth. And right now, when I'm trying to compete as well as full-time working, I think that's what's helping me because I went through all that and I'm like, it's okay if I can practice 2 days in a row. Like, I still have my responsibilities. I'll just do them and then I practice after 2 days or whatever. Before, I would freak out. I'll be like, no, I need to go to practice at 1 a.m. So 100% helped me to just grow mentally and mature in a lot of ways and be more capable of taking care of myself when my parents weren't around, you know? So yeah, it definitely helped me to be who I am today.
And so you said you're working full time and also training right now, post collegiate career. How has that been the balance of, a full time job? Also, what is your full time job? You have a master's degree from Liberty, so I'm sure you have a pretty cool job. So what are you doing for work, and how is that like balancing with training?
Yeah, so I did business administration for my undergraduate, and then I did sport management for my master's degree. And after that, I applied for multiple jobs. And the first job that I saw, actually, John McEnroe's Academy, and they responded within like 2 5 minutes. And I was like, that's great. Had an interview in like 3 days. I got the job. I'm like, awesome. This is amazing. This is one of the biggest academies in America, you know, IMG, John McEnroe's Academy. I was like, I can practice, I can play. Like, they'll for sure support what I want to do. Managing the time though has been really difficult because of going to just competing, thinking about just practices, eating, recovering correctly, doing your homework, and then again, all over again. And then all of a sudden, you gotta work 40 hours a week, plus you gotta do your practice. It's just ridiculous, so hard. But I do feel like for 3 months now, I started to figure out like if I can't practice 3 days, it's okay. Like I'm practicing my mindset, kind of, if I'm watching somebody playing and stuff. So I guess that's, yeah.
So what when was your last competition now, professionally or collegiately, whichever came first, and what are the goals now going forward with your tennis career?
Yeah, so last one was in May. That's the last tournament that I played, the NIT. And since then, like I went through because I have a F1 visa currently and I'm on my OPT. Basically, the job comes first because of my, you know, visa situation. So as of right now, I have signed up to two tournaments upcoming, the 20th of April, 21st. which is 100K and 35K. One is in North Carolina, the other one is in South Carolina. So hopefully I'll get in. That's another thing. If you don't have points, you can get into WTA tournaments, which is absolutely brutal. It's like, how else am I supposed to play if I don't have points? So that's been challenging as well. But hopefully I'll get into those tournaments. I'm getting ready. I'm practicing currently. But yeah, I'm just super excited. Finally, after a year of a gap competing, just focusing on yourself, not job, not this, not that, just like you, yourself, your racket, your favorite sports. So yeah.
That's fantastic. Best of luck to you. Hopefully
Thank
get into those
you.
tournaments and get your career back on track, especially from all those injuries. And so, obviously you are from Armenia. Your family still lives there. And while you're in college, a lot went on in Armenia and Artsakh and all of those things. And
Yeah.
what was that like? Just, your family was so close to what was going on, but you're all the way here in America.
Yeah, it was definitely. As soon as I would hear the news or I would open my Instagram, it was just very difficult just to look into those things because I have a little brother at home, which is currently 18 years old. So I was already having that in my mind, like the time is coming and it's just getting worse and worse, not just for my brother, just for my own country. And my parents were just, you can't come back to Armenia at this point because you never know if they'll just shut down the airports and you won't be able to go back. And I'm like, what if that is happening and I cannot go back home? So I can't see you guys. So it was just like I'm talking, I'm getting chills out. It was very difficult just to not show it to my teammates because they knew how hard I'm taking and how close I'm taking to my heart. And I was just, only thing I could do is pray for the soldiers, the military people, and my dad himself is a military guy. So I was like, what if they take him and they could happen to? They have tried multiple times. And so it was just like very emotional to concentrate on tennis while you know what's going on in your home country. And also, you don't know you can see your parents soon or what will happen with your own country because you're always scared. What if they come over and take the whole land and Armenia doesn't ex I mean, until today, it's the fear that everybody lives and fears every single day. So yeah.
I'm very sorry you had to experience all of that. That's
Yeah.
obviously a lot of Armenians ha had tragic things happen to them during that time, and it's just another. Unfortunately, it's a very common story from that time and even until today. But how has your Armenian heritage kind of influenced your approach to sports and competition? Armenians have a reputation of being fighters and never giving
Yeah.
up. How has that mindset kind of impacted your approach to tennis?
Yeah, because of our culture, and I think because we came from Soviet Union, our tough mindset, and even I mean our military, like they're so strong mentally, I'm talking about. My dad was so tough-minded and he always like transitioned that to my mindset. He was like, you're tired, nobody cares. Like you gotta go through it. He was very tough on me, and I'm so beyond thankful to that because I wouldn't be able to go all that those like surgeries, America by myself, working all these things if I wasn't that tough mindset than I don't know other people or something. But it's always on the court, even they would call me Armenian assassin because of like the tough mindset and stuff. Even here or there, like if it's a competition, put Marina into it, like she'll kill it and stuff. So that always been my gift to compete no matter what's going on. I mean, when I had my meniscus tear, I played another month with it and didn't lose a match. Even my last match, my leg was wrapped like he was like, I could barely even move my leg because how much it was wrapped. But even in the third set, I came back and won. And that's why I love this sport so much because I can show my competitiveness and I can just compete every single point. So, yeah, that the Armenian culture definitely transitioned within me into America.
That's fantastic. And obviously there's you know, some Armenian tennis stars right now in the WTA.
Yeah.
Vanessian is probably the biggest name in Armenian women's tennis right now.
Yeah.
There's Garen Khachanov on the men's side. Have you met either of them or maybe got some advice from any of them throughout your career?
Yeah, when I competed at ITF when during my junior career, Elina actually came to one of the Armenian tournaments and she was there for like 4 weeks. I remember I lost in semifinals and she was in the finals like the day after. And my dad was like, "We're gonna go and watch this Armenian kid. She's so good." And I was like, "Oh, okay, sure. I don't want to go to the courts now." I was so depressed, but I was like, "Okay, sure." And I remember sitting and watching, and my dad was actually talking to her mom, and she was so intense. I remember her footwork and stuff, and I was like, "Wow, she." You know, when you see athletes like that, you right away think about their future. That if there is no injuries or anything like that, you're like, they can make it. And she made it, and it's like incredible to see on the TV an Armenian flag. That I've never seen it before. Like, sure, Khachanov is like Armenian as well, but he plays under Russian flag,
Yeah.
correct? So it's like seeing the Armenian flag on the TV, I'm like, this is absolutely crazy. And I think as of right now, she motivates so many girls, even in Armenia, that they're like maybe financially struggling, but they want to get to that level, especially now she's doing so many great things. She's going to Armenia, she's performing, it's just incredible. She's motivating people like me as well that it is possible to come from somewhere like that and become a huge star like her. So big shout out to her, obviously. Like, love seeing her competing and love hearing her talking about Armenia in that sphere of tennis.
That's fantastic. And just a question for you, and I ask this to every female Armenian athlete I interview. It's interesting to me because if you, when you look back like 20, 30 years ago, maybe it was like kind of a, it wasn't as common, I think, especially in Armenia, for a young girl to get into athletics. You know, they, you know, it was not, you know, yeah, it was too masculine or something, and playing sports. And we've seen that changing. The Armenian women's soccer team has two straight wins. They've been
yes, well. I've been following. Yeah.
Yeah. And then you have Alina, you have yourself. And even in other sports, UFC, you have, you know, a lot of like MMA fighters who are Armenian. What has it been like to kind of be that first generation of Armenian women to break that barrier and to say it's okay to be an athlete? It's okay to be in sports.
You're
kind of sending that message to the next young girls.
No, I love this question because I love the girl power, girls playing sports. I think that's just so beautiful, and they're not scared of being loud. They're not scared of competing too much. Like, there's no too much. And I absolutely love that, especially Elina. Like, she competes so hard, and nobody will be like, "Oh, why are you doing this?" She's a superstar. She wouldn't care about those things. So, like, even growing up, we had, before Elina, that was Anya Midahyan, Anna Movsisyan. Like, they were top 400 WTA, and they were the main people that I was looking toward to, like, beat or, like, to be close to them. And so thanks to them, they kind of started this whole process, and Elina is kind of like continuing. But I just even remember when I was practicing in Armenia, it was just so rare at that point to even see again, like see people in athletic clothes, like women. And when I remember, even my grandma was like, "Why are you wearing such a short shorts? Like, that's embarrassing, Marina." And I'm like, "Grandma, like, I'm playing sports, like, I'm an athlete, like, I didn't have time to change." And it was crazy to even now to think about when I'm going to back home, and like, even after practice, I'm still thinking about that. I'm like, life changed, people changed back home, and it's so beautiful to see. I see every woman almost wearing leggings, like sport clothes, and they're not afraid of showing their muscles even, and I think that's great. And yeah, I just love seeing women competing because it's different, because we give more, I feel like, than men, because they're more like calm, but we show more emotion so you can live that moment with them.
Yeah, it's definitely growing. And it's great to see that in Armenia, you're seeing more and more younger women involved in athletics. That's fantastic, especially, you know, for the future. You know, I just feel like Armenia can ha has such a good future in women's sports, in events like the Olympics, and we're seeing it in soccer right now.
Yeah.
And the basketball team just recently came back, the women's basketball team. So I think that's fantastic. That's really good to see.
Yeah.
Marina, so thank you so much for taking the time and talking to us today. And
Yeah, thank
most of all,
you.
thank you for being a great representative of the Armenian community. And best of luck. Hopefully we're able to see you compete in those tournaments, and your future is bright.
Perfect. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you, Marina. Appreciate it.